All right, good morning, good morning. We will be in 1 Samuel chapter 17 today, run to the Lord's battle. What do you do when you are speaking on a story that is so familiar, has been flannel graphed for ages, taught to children, above all stories, maybe, David and Goliath, and yet you stand before a congregation of adults, and once again, we're going to bring some meaning out of this passage because it is the Lord's Word. It is inspired Scripture. It is true, absolutely true, Devon, absolutely true story. And so we are going to look at God's inspired word and the absolute truth of this story. As the two nations, the Philistines and Israel, gathered there near Elah, the valley of Elah, they drew up battle lines. They ran to the battle. I think Mark may have a picture for you there. All right, you're all familiar with this, right? You know these guys, Braveheart. You can see them there in the center right, Braveheart. They are running to the battle. They are moving into position, and they are ready to fight. Now imagine this: these two Philistines, the Israelites, they run from their tents, from their camp. They run to the valley. They run up and form battle lines. Yeah, get them! And they freeze and they stop. Because coming from the Philistine side is a 9-foot guy, and he just steps forward out of the mass, and he begins to yell at the Israelite army. He's 9 foot, actually 9 foot in a hand span, which is about 9'6". His chest armor alone weighs 125 pounds. Spear, the spearhead, he's got a spear and a javelin, and the spearhead alone is 15 pounds. So he's a massive opponent. He's a massive opponent, and he steps up, and as you read this story, you keep reading it, he defies the army of God. He defies the Lord's army. That means he's taunting them. That means he is just saying, you can't do nothing. You're not big enough to do nothing. And he taunts the army of the living Lord. He taunts his people. Have you ever been taunted? You ever hear of anybody taunting God's people, the church? We're old, we're antiquated. We don't need that anymore. You're not able to fix the problems we face today. You're hypocrites. You're a problem. If so, then you'll understand somewhat of this taunting that is happening here. Fighting men on both sides of the line, and they are absolutely frozen, stopped. Now, if you're wondering, as we've been moving through 1 Samuel, what is the topic or the person that you're trying to get across here, Terry? What are you trying to teach us? What are we trying to do? And we know there are many kinds of lessons here. One was there's a lot of governing going on. There's the King Saul. We've talked a lot about King Saul. We'll continue on with that. But this would be called effective, fruitful, faithful Christian living, right? It's effective, it's fruitful, walking by faith. Now, all those words are straight out of the New Testament. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We are to be fruitful. A tree is known by its fruit, Jesus said. If the branches are maintain connection to the vine, they'll bear much fruit. And Paul himself said that we walk by faith, not by sight. So I'm not here, my first point is, I'm not here as an evangelist today. Evangelism will come, souls will be saved when the church is effective and fruitfully walking by faith. We will bear fruit. We will win souls. It'll happen. So the point of this message is for sure, it's fruitful, faithful walking, living it out. We know we're saved by faith, day one. But we have the rest of our life then to grow in effective, fruitful walking by faith, to win souls, to bring people in, to advance the kingdom of God. So that's the purpose and the point here, is effective, fruitful walking. And in this story, there's a giant in the land. There are Christians who are rah-rahing. There is the army of Israel who is yelling and runs to the battle lines and stops. Much like we're challenged with today. There are big giants out there. Not a physical looking guy, but there are things in all of our lives, there are things in our nation and in our world, there are giants, and we can run a great parade, we can do a great cheer session, and then we stop. And the giant steps forward, and he begins to taunt us, and we go home. We're done. So that's what we don't want to do. We want to encourage today to be effective and fruitful, walking by faith, not letting the giants, whatever they may be, not letting this challenge, this huge challenge, stop us. And it does. And it is. And it will stop many today. So, let me read, beginning at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to begin at verse 21. I'm going to read a few verses. And then I'm going to hit some points I want to make. Boom, 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 boom. And I've given Mark about my whole outline. So you're going to be able to see it up there. I'll go, these verses, here's my point. He'll put it up there. So you won't be lost. You'll see everything the point I'm going to make. You'll see it all. And this is all toward running to the Lord's battle, not freezing, not stopping, not staying home. This is running to the Lord's battle. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 21. Let me pray. Lord, I pray for all of us here. This is a desire of our heart that we run to your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord, but we are your soldiers, we are your servants, we're your ministers. So Lord, I pray now for this word, this inspired word, this actual event that happened. I pray for it to impact us. Pray for encouragement and admonition, for guidance. I pray you'll speak to our hearts. May we be warriors and soldiers, effective and fruitful, filled with faith, living out what Jesus lived out. I pray in his name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 21. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, taunt us, And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches. He will give him his daughter and make his house free in Israel. Tax-free living in Israel, kill this man, and the king's sweetheart daughter, and a pretty nice income on behalf of King Saul. Get rid of this guy. And nobody can do it. For 40 days, for 40 days, this man steps forward and taunts them, and no one can do it. His challenge is rather clear. Look, I'm a man. I'm a Philistine. I'm a warrior. Here I am. You send forth your best, and him and I will duke this thing out. Him and I will fight this out. And whoever wins, the other side serves us. It's just that simple. We don't have to have this big bloody battle out here in these fields. Just man on man, I represent them. Your guy represents you. For 40 days, they were froze. But David, going back and forth between his father's sheep and the battle lines, David is sent by his father to bring food, check on his brothers, and David runs to the ranks to greet his brothers and talk with them. And lo and behold, as he's there, up steps Goliath, the champion, the Philistine of Gath. In verse 26, we see a question of contrast. It's a question of vision. It's a question of what do you see? It's a contrast. So up steps this man willing to defy and taunt Israel. And man, the reward by King Saul is quite impressive. I mean, your ship has come in if you can kill this guy. But nobody does. David sees it a little differently in verse 26. David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel?" I mean, it's like for David, it's like, what? Really? Are you kidding me? Tell me again, what's he going to do for us? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." So they tell him, you know, tax-free living, beautiful woman, an impressive salary for the rest of your life, riches. And he watches this and he said, now what? Tell me again, what? I mean, he sees this totally different. It's like he is defying the armies of the Lord. This is the living Lord. And you guys are standing here and all this promise of all this wealth and nobody's moving. Nothing's happening. Are you kidding me? Tell me, what am I hearing this right? He's going to ask this again. He just can't digest this. That the Lord's army, the living Lord's army, is sitting afraid. And so he continues to ask, "I know he's big, but are you kidding me?" It's a real question of contrast. How did he see it so differently? He's just absolutely astounded of what's happening here. So let's just think for a minute before we throw them under the bus. Are there monumental challenges in our nation, in our world, maybe in your family? Are there monumental challenges to the nation, like there was to the nation Israel and their army? They're valiant warriors. There are monumental challenges to our nation that would freeze in so many ways the church of the living God. Are there things that would scare us, that would freeze us? cause us to go home and stay home or stand at the sidelines and yell, yeah. Are there big challenges? I mean, these are enormous challenges, not like any other. Maybe even taunting us. You don't have the answer for this one, church. How do we? That's a question we have to ask ourselves all the time. How do I see the challenges we face in America? How do I see the challenges I face every day, maybe at work or in my family? But nationally speaking, this is the entire army of Israel. How do you see the challenges before the church? How do you view them? David will see them as, I don't care how big he is, so what? We are serving the living Lord. We are serving the living God. The Holy Spirit is here. He is alive. He does see everything. Are we really going to stop? Are we really going to be afraid? So let's not throw them under the bus so quickly. It's quite a question of contrast. Verse 28. These people, like us, face our detractors. We have our detractors. In verse 28, here's his brother bringing him food. David is bringing his three oldest brothers actual food, trying to set them up with the general of the army. Hey, I brought you food. I brought you drink. I'm here. I want to check on my brothers. This is a good thing. David can't believe. He keeps asking, tell me again, are you sure? What? Who is this guy? Verse 28, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. He heard David talking. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, his brother. And he said, why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart. You've come down to see the battle, haven't you? David said, what have I done now? Is it not but a word? I'm just asking. And he turned away from him toward another. He spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again. Detractors. I know what you're up to, David. You just come down. You come to the hockey game to see a fight. I know what you're doing. You're watching NASCAR to see a good wreck. You just came here to see the battle. You just want to sit in the front row and watch people beat each other up and kill each other and see the carnage. It's presumptuous. You're arrogant. That's your heart. His own family, who he has brought food from his dad to check on, his own family is a detractor. David sees this challenger out here as nothing in the Lord's eyes. But his scared older brothers resent his faithfulness, resent his courage. They resent who he is. And it will go farther and in a different direction. In verse 33, King Saul himself says, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. You're not able. So his brothers are saying, look, little boy, go home. We know you're here to see some carnage. You got an evil heart, bud. And King Saul himself, his own king, says, you can't do this. He's too big. He's a seasoned warrior. And you're a young guy, you're a young man, you can't do this. And I'm going to tell you that you and I, if we step out into the United States of America 2022 and 2023, there's a monumental challenge for us. It's small today compared to what it's going to be, and we will have our detractors. from our family and from our own government and our own people. We will have our detractors. But David's answer is so clear, isn't it? Verse 34, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. And your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." Verse 34 to 37, "I live my life by the Lord's strength every day. The Lord will deliver me again." And David, quite frankly, is just saying, you know what? This is no different than yesterday or the day before or the day before. Because every day I live my life by the strength of the Lord. Every day I face challenges and I win by the strength of the Lord. Today is no different than yesterday or the day before. And a lion and bear came and grabbed up one of our father's sheep, and I went after him, and I loved what he says. He said, "I'd strike him, and if he dropped it, okay, fine. And if he didn't, if he turned on me, I killed him. I mean, I'm willing to let this animal live. I'll hit him, and if he puts it down, great. But if he attacks me, I grab him by the beard, and I kill him." So yesterday was no different than today, and it'll be no different tomorrow. Because every challenge, no matter how big in my life, I live and I walk by faith every day, and the Lord gives me victories every day. There's really no giant in our land or in our life that even compares to the Lord. So victory yesterday, last year, 6 months ago, will be no different than victory today or tomorrow or next year. It's the same Lord and the same faith. Will there be detractors? Yes. But I live my life by the Lord's strength every day. I'm just the son of a servant. I'm a shepherd. And he's soon to be God's king. He's shepherding. He's just shepherding. He shepherds sheep one day and he's shepherding people the next. But he's shepherding. And just like the lion and the bear, here's Goliath, and he's ready to snatch up some of God's sheep, and he's going to shepherd and protect their lives. We need a faithful, fearless heart and mind, just like this. I mean, this is just a faith-filled heart. This is this kid, this young man who just walks with the Lord every day. I don't know about you. I have not wrestled a bear or a lion. And I don't want to. But it really doesn't matter. We have challenges in our life that want to freeze us. And we need to have a faithful, fearless heart and mind. Sometimes we're too smart for our heart. We're too smart for our heart. Our heart says, "Yeah, go, the Lord will." And our mind says, "Dude's 9 feet tall. That dude's armor is 125 pounds. That's all you can do to lift 125 pounds. He's wearing it around his chest, plus his leg irons, plus his javelin, plus his spearhead. And there's a guy carrying a shield for him. And whereas my heart is pretty gung-ho, my head says, oh, oh. I'm too smart for my heart. And I'll stop and I'll do the math, and it doesn't add up. And I freeze. It freezes you. It just stops you cold. You can't move. You're scared. Your faith ran out of gas. Your Lord's not big enough. man, do I need a dose of David? Do I need a dose of David? Verse 38 through 40, interesting point. Saul offers David his armor, and so you and I need to choose the right armor as well. 38 through 40, then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a great coat of mail, and David strapped his sword over his armor. He tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. We got to choose the right armor. Now, they want to offer us armor. That's cool, right? They want to offer us help. Look, church. You cannot face these challenges with what you have in your hand. You cannot face these challenges of 2022, these huge, huge giants, these huge challenges in your land and across this world. You cannot face them with the Bible and prayer and a little kumbaya down at the church. You can't do it. So you need to strap on some of our armor and become a little more like us to go to this battle. Now, I'll just say, this armor wasn't doing Saul much good, was it? Because he wasn't moving. That armor wasn't doing his soldiers much good because they weren't moving. But here, take our worthless armor and go fight. See, it's not really about the armor, it's about the person. It's about what's here. It's about the faith. It's not about what you possess, or what you're armored with. Could I show you something in Ephesians chapter 6? I know some of your minds are working way ahead of mine, and I want to show you something. You know, when we talk about armor and warfare, this is our go-to. This is our go-to. I mean, some of us have pictures on our refrigerator of the armor and armor of God, and you know, Matt has a really cool coat of armor down in his class. Some of you have this memorized. You're incredible thinking people. I want to show you something here, because here is our armor, and we get that. Let me read it, beginning of verse 10. Let me read this, because I think we miss something here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. That's you. That's people. Be strong. Have the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now that sounds like a Goliath to me. That is where their strength comes from. That is where the enemy and the challenges' strength comes from. And we can't see it. It's there. We know it. But he tells us this is where they're getting their strength from. Goliath cursed Israel by his god, Dagon. So here's where this power comes from. You get your power and strength from the Lord. Therefore, verse 13, I'll tell you again, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, the first thing you're going to say is, we don't battle physical giants. And I'm going to say we do. We are to be filled with the strength of the Lord, as they are filled with the strength of their God. Where is the battlefield in this verse? That's a question you need to ask yourself. You're going to put on all this armor, you're going to do all this stuff to go to battle. Where is the battlefield? It's right here. It's in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the schemes of the devil. Schemes. Schema. Mind games. Here's the battle. It's here. Here's the battlefield. And you need strength and courage so you're not froze to go into the battle. Here's all the armor. Here's everything you need to put on, because the devil is waging war with you here. And here. And he will freeze you. He will stop you cold. So you need this battle, this armor for this battle. And because, and what's Paul say? To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. What? Making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth. I need to keep speaking, preaching the gospel, teaching the truth. I need to keep going boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am in chains. I'm in chains. That sounds like a physical battle to me. I'm in chains for the gospel, for speaking boldly the truth. That sounds physical to me. The battle's here, and you need to put on this armor so you don't stop, you don't shut up, you don't run to the battle line and go, until the challenger comes up and you go, ooh. My heart and my mind, I'm so fearful, and oh, I can't do anything. You've lost. The enemy's winning. Your Goliath is winning. Your Goliath is yelling at you, and he's winning. So many people read that, and they just think, well, yeah, it's this, I'm just going to pray and everything. No, you are the warrior. We are the warriors. We are the shepherds. We are the servants. We are the speakers of the gospel, of the truth. We are the ones who run when Goliath has our people in his mouth, ready to shake them to pieces, and they're froze. We go and we strike the enemy. If he sets them free, good deal. If not, we'll kill them. Not physically. We'll attack. Oh, how many believers, Christians today are froze, immobile, scared. It's too big, it's too challenging, I can't help it. It's just, Goliath's got you by the neck, by the throat. You need to put on the armor of God. You need to look at your God. This is the army of the living God. I'm looking at the army of the living God. Fear is faithlessness. We all deal with it, and then we throw it out. And praise God for a David. Praise God for a David who will step into our life and say, "What in the world is going on here? Are you serving the living God or not?" There's one young man steps into our life and says, "I don't get it. You're going to let this guy taunt the army of the living God? You're going to let this guy freeze you?" David, I don't know if you realize this, but David might have been their only hope. He was their only hope. Goliath's proposition was, "You step your best man up here, and I'll step up, and whoever wins, the other guy serve." So David says, "I'll do it. I'm going to take him down." He was their only hope. If he loses, well, I guess you guys serve us now, huh? Praise God for one person in our life who will step forward and speak the truth to us. Oh, you'll have your detractors if you try, within your family, within your government, whatever. They'll say, "You can't. That's not right. I know your evil heart. You're mean. Why are you speaking that? I'm scared. Can't you see what's going on?" Ah! No, I see the living God. I see and serve the living God. And your problems are sneeze in a Kleenex to him. Man, praise God for David, huh? Praise God. There's a few running around here yet who will speak the truth. We don't need their armor, that's for sure. Verse 41 to 47, David comes face to face with his enemy. And that's where we need to go. We need to go face to face with our challenge, with the challenges. We need to face up to them. Call it what it is. This is the Lord's battle. But people do the fighting. This is spiritual, but it's real. Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bare in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He despised him. He was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. Cocky young man. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." And when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Arrogant young man, or full of faith, or knew full well, this giant is nothing compared to my God. This challenge is nothing compared to the strength and the might of my God. When I put on his armor, my mind doesn't win. My fear doesn't win. He knew. And he stood and looked that giant right in the face and said, I'm going to cut your head off. And I don't even have a sword in my hand. This is the Lord's battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. He said that quite clearly. This is his battle, and I'm going to fight it for him. I'm going to fight it for him. Make no mistake, spiritual battle of the Lord's. We are the soldiers. It's spiritual, but it's real. It's real in our lives. Verse 48, 49, he runs to the battle. He runs to the Lord's battle. He's a true shepherd. Let me ask you a question. If the lion and the bear grab up one of his sheep, and he stands there and does nothing, what happens to the sheep? He's dead. See, we don't understand that. If I do nothing, someone's going to be hurt. I am the Lord's servant soldier. The battle is the Lord's, and I am the one. And if I do nothing, the sheep die. So I only really have one choice, and that's run and whomp that bear over the head with my staff. Do you understand that, church? If we do nothing, someone gets hurt. Someone steps into eternity full of hell and fire. If we do nothing, someone's life, some other soldier, maybe someone on our team stands frozen in fear, unable to function and move. There's a big challenge out there. If we do nothing, we say nothing, we speak nothing, we don't engage, we don't run to the battle, somebody gets hurt, somebody loses. And particularly maybe our own soldiers, our own fellow brothers and sisters, frozen by fear, frozen because the battle going on in their mind and heart with their own Goliath, he has stopped them cold. And we need to help set them free again, get them back on the path with the Lord. They will serve their Goliath. They will serve their fear. They will serve their trepidation. They will serve him until we set them free, until we speak some truth into their life, until we put on the armor and say, come on, get out of here. You don't have to stay there. Don't you serve the living God? He may be calling us, this little tiny church in Goshen, Indiana, like he called a young man from a poor shepherd family, to be his king, to be the savior of Israel. He may call this little David right here called Cornerstone. But for sure, if we do nothing, the sheep die. The sheep die. Am I correct when I say the enemy is a liar and a murderer? Am I lying to say he roams like a roaring lion to seek whom he may devour, like a lion and a bear and a wolf? That's not just beautiful writing and prose. And I'm looking at David. I'm looking at David. Unless you've been froze by fear. Run to the battle. The victory is the Lord's. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He didn't need all that armor. A sling and a stone. That's what he uses every day. He struck the Philistine and he killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. So they wounded Philistines. They fell on the way from Shaarim as far as Gath and Ekron. The people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. You'll inspire a host of people behind you when you run to the battle. When you go face to face with that challenge, those challenges, and these challenges, you'll inspire an army of people behind you to chase the enemy, pursue it, and subdue him. When fear doesn't cripple you, doesn't destroy your life, and it will, you'll inspire many, many people to get back in the battle. The victory is the Lord's. And all Saul could say was, "Who is this kid?" Verse 55, "Who is this young man?" As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistines, he said to Abner, commander, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner says, "Your soul lives, O king, I don't know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son this boy is." And as soon as David returned from striking down the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul and with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Saul said, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David said, "I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." The Bethlehemite. You and I serve a Bethlehemite, don't we? Born in Bethlehem. The son of God, the King of Kings. We serve him. He sits on the throne of David forever. He's the king forever. Oh, it's his battle. It's the Bethlehemite battle. And we're his soldiers. We're his people. I'll close with John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." That means he'll safely move in and out of this sheep pen, and he'll eat and find pasture. He'll be safe. It's okay. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is of a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he really cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold," that's us, "I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father." He is our shepherd, and we will go in and go out and find safe pasture. He leads us. And there are false There are false shepherds. They're just hired. They're just in it for the money. They're in it for the job. They don't want to protect and care and see them living a fruitful, faith-filled, effective life. They don't care. When the wolf comes, they run. But no, the good shepherd and his people, they shepherd the sheep. They draw their minds and their attention to the living God who has the authority to lay his life down and to pick it up again. That's the authority of God. He has the authority over our life. He, Jesus Christ, the Lord, has authority over your life to lay it down or to raise it up again. And it will be raised. The enemy has no authority over you. Goliath can stand and taunt you. The devil will play fear games here. He will immobilize you. But he has no authority over your life or over your mind. Take up the full armor, because the battlefield is right here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be a shepherd. Serve a shepherd. Be a shepherd. Run to the battle. Run to the Lord's battle. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for David and Goliath and these beautiful scriptures in 1 Samuel. Your word is a treasure to us. We love you. We want your strength and the power of your might. So, Lord, give us grace to see you and to serve you and to put on all of your armor. I pray, Lord, if there is someone here frozen in fear, anxiety, Lord, bring a David into their life to speak truth to them. Set them free. Get the lion and the wolf away from their mind. May they be set free to serve the living God. May they know you. In Jesus' name, amen.